Hello, everyone, and welcome to NWR Connectivity episode 326. I am joined by Neil Ronahan.
Gotta go fast.
And our very special guest, Alex DeFreitas.
You faker.
That's the only other quote from Sonic the Hedgehog that I could think of in the moment.
Well done.
I don't know. It's been a long time since I played a Sonic Adventure game in my day. My degenerate youth when I played through both of those games. Never again, I vowed. But maybe that'll change.
You have to remind yourself otherwise. Like, if you don't, like, remember the past, then you're doomed to repeat it. So you gotta play them every couple years.
Yeah, no, I need to remind myself that Sonic Adventure 2 is a charming yet janky-ass game.
Yeah, just because it's better doesn't mean it's good.
So I'm coming off of a bender in which my child, my oldest, my four-year-old, got really into Sonic the Hedgehog. So we watched both Sonic the Hedgehog movies. It was my second time watching the first one. Like, that's fine. Second one was pretty good. Outside of the fact that, like, half of the movie is, like, you could just be like, this is some, like, weird buddy comedy with, like, James Marsden and his girlfriend or wife or whatever.
I liked it. Those movies are, like...
They're what they need to be.
Yeah, they're not great, but, like, they're fun.
Watchable.
And they have Cyclops in them, which is neat.
Yeah, no, I always liked that actor. Yeah. His portrayal of Cyclops, the problem was not... It's a real, like, Hayden Christensen as Anakin thing. Where, like, the issue is that, well, I guess it's a little different. I mean, Bryan Singer is a terrible director for other reasons. But, like, George Lucas, just, like, Hayden Christensen is a totally fine actor. It's just that the material and the direction was terrible. I think James Marsden does his best with Cyclops basically being, like, D-list. I mean, he's, like, one of the prominent characters in that trilogy, but he's never really gets to do much. In X-Men 2, he's just sidelined for all of it. Third one, he, like, dies in the first 10 minutes.
Do I need to rewatch the X-Men movies? Because I have not seen these in a long time, and I did not realize that there was Cyclops-based controversy when I referenced Cyclops in the Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
It's more that he doesn't get a lot to do.
Okay.
Because, I mean, they're Hugh Jackman's movies. And he does, he gets metaphorically fridged and then literally fridged in successive movies. Because the second one, like, he gets, like, brainwashed or whatever by Brian Cox's mystery potion thing. And then he's, like, he's basically taken out in the first act and then, like, shows up being brainwashed. And then, like, he gets knocked out and he's like, oh, I'm back from being brainwashed. Oh, Jean Grey's dead. And then the third one, he dies in the first 15 minutes.
Yeah. Boy, I guess let's do an X-Men movie game club. And rewatch.
Did you say
all of
X-Men movie game club?
Yes.
I mean, the X-Men movie games, well, what? So technically that the Mark Hamill voiced Wolverine game from, like, 2002, I think that's technically movie related. And that was, like,
That was the one where they had his likeness rights for the cover, but not in game.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Beautiful.
I think there was, like, an X-Men, the official game, that wasn't that good. But then X-Men Origins Wolverine is legitimately after Rock Band, is my favorite Xbox 360 game.
Okay.
X-Men Origins Wolverine is the best God of War game ever made.
Better than Dante's Inferno?
Yes.
Oh.
I still have a 360. Packed away in my basement, and I was like, I'm only going to keep the important games, and it's like X-Men Origins Wolverine and some copies of Rock Band games. That's it. Maybe Pimp My Ride, because and 50 Cent Blood on the Sand, because you never know when those are going away.
I suppose, if that's a concern for you.
So the purpose of this cold open was to talk about Sonic the Hedgehog as far as, like, me as a father looking for a game for my kid to play. And we are, like, a week away from Sonic Origins, which is a game that I'm actually really excited for. There's a good chance I could be disappointed by it when it comes out and just be like, oh, I already have access to most of these games on my Switch already through the Sega Genesis app and Sega Ages.
It is the fourth time that Sonic 2 will be made available on the Nintendo Switch. Just saying.
But I was, like, thinking about, like, I should see, like, the 3D Sonic games. Is there anything on Switch worth getting? And now I might be keeping an eye out for Sonic Forces to be really cheap. I don't know.
If you do buy Sonic Forces, I want to see whatever your OC is.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll make that happen. If I could find it, for $10, then I think I will buy Sonic Forces and see if my kid gets into it.
I think there was a bundle where Sonic Forces came with Sonic Racing.
You mean the bad Sonic Racing? Which I do no. I have that. I have Team Sonic Racing. It's not that good.
The one on Switch, you didn't like it?
I didn't like, at least not compared, like, I think Sega and All-Stars Transform, or is it Sonic and Sega All-Star, whatever the hell it's called. Yeah. The one on Wii U.
I think that game is great, but not on Wii U.
Oh, I think
it falls apart if you have more than one people.
I remember booting up the Wii U multiplayer and just everybody fell through the race.
Yes. Yeah, there are entire tracks that do not work if you play it in split screen.
I do think that game is incredible, but yes, it was very buggy on Wii U specifically. No, I didn't get into Team Sonic Racing as much. Mostly, well, one, I'm in for my Sonic and Sega Racing games. I like it when it's like the full brand and not just Sonic, and Team Sonic Racing. Yeah. Kind of kicked out all of that, like, oh, it's the dude from Shenmue and he's got a forklift.
Yeah.
And also I didn't like the team-based racing. I didn't think that was that
fun. I thought that was awesome. Well, fine, I guess there's a Sonic game that I think is great and that you hate. This is weird and I'm uncomfortable now.
Balancing the universe. And Sonic Colors, I don't know. If anybody knows if they fixed the Switch version, let me know.
We could send Matt back in for more. He thought he got out, but they pulled him back in.
But yeah, write in with your Sonic recommendations for my kid. I maybe I'll break out the Wii U once he's on summer break and we can play some Sonic Lost World.
Sonic Heroes has Big the Cat.
But then I'd have to play Sonic Heroes.
It's not a good game, but it has Big the Cat.
Does anybody else feel like Big the Cat is
gets too maybe much shit?
A questionable stereotype of
cats?
No, of mentally handicapped people.
Oh,
in
Lord.
His portrayal. Because I feel like we just ignore it with Big the Cat. But go back and play Sonic Adventure. And
no.
Like, dude, go back and play Sonic Adventure.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with you. It's just more I don't want to play Sonic Adventure again.
Oh, well, that's fair. But I'm just... Every time, like, they were like, he's going to be in the Amazon series. I'm like, is he still going to act and sound the same? Because I feel like what we could get away with in 2000, we maybe can't and shouldn't do now.
There's a lot of things that it's like, just once you have a slightly more critical eye, like even just the casual homophobia that was the 90s, where you like, you look back on some things and you're like, huh.
Anyway, Big the Cat is problematic. Cancel Big the Cat and the rest of the Sonic franchise with him. What were we talking about?
How about Sonic Frontiers? How are we feeling? So as we talk about it, we are, I guess not E3 is done. Oh, well, there's a Square Enix thing tomorrow. And I guess so.
Well, the Nintendo's shadow dropping a direct, what, still yet speak. Today as we're recording. I believe that's what Samus Hunter told me.
I think the only two things that haven't happened from like the mosaic work of art that is like the 20 presentations put into one like time schedule is the Square Enix thing where they might be announcing Final Fantasy VII Remake 2. And I hope Final Fantasy VII Remake coming to Game Pass. That's my dream. I hope it happens.
That'd be nice. I'd play it.
And then the other thing is Capcom is announcing Dragon's Dogma 2. If they don't,
I thought Capcom already had their thing.
So they did, and they said no new games. And at a certain point, like a producer of like Dragon's Dogma came out wearing a Dragon's Dogma shirt and was like, guess what? We're going to talk about Dragon's Dogma on Thursday.
Interesting.
But they're acting as if Dragon's Dogma's been this thing for 10 years. It's like, has it? It's only the one game.
Yeah. Well, I think there was
some DLC.
There was a Netflix show.
Yeah, there's a Netflix show.
There might have been a mobile thing.
Oh.
I think there might have been something else. I don't care enough to confirm.
It's as much of a series as Star Tropics.
I was looking at that that like the NVIDIA GeForce leak When Tactics Ogre Reborn
from the PlayStation
store for some reason.
That was hilarious.
Because I remembered that was on it, and I looked at that list and I was like, oh yeah, all of this was right. What hasn't been? And then I got to Capcom and it said Dragon's Dogma 2, and I'm like, oh, okay, so that is getting announced on Thursday.
Was Mega Man Battle Network Legacy Collection on that list?
I don't think so. I looked at it and I think basically everything surprising had already gotten announced.
I'm emotionally crushed.
The one group that I'm very curious about is that Bayonetta 3, Shin Megami Tensei 5 are both on that, which I would assume Megaten 5 is going to come to other platforms at some point.
They got a trade Persona for it.
Bayonetta 3 would be, well, I mean, it's probably the thing where like Nintendo has a year or two exclusivity. Maybe it's, you know, maybe it'll come to PC like the end of this year or the next, and then maybe Xbox, PlayStation a year after that or something like that. Bayonetta 3 being on the list was curious because it could be the thing. Like I think nothing there was a guarantee, but like a shocking amount of that wound up being real. But I would expect like if Bayonetta 3 came to PC, like I don't think Bayonetta 2 ever did.
Nope. So
I'd put that into unlikely, but Megaten 5 seems like it'll come at some point.
I mean, the Switch's whole architecture is Nvidia based.
Yeah, maybe
so Switch stuff can be on there without needing to go anywhere else. Because like Shin Megami Tensei totally could go somewhere else, but that's also a series that outside of like spin-off, like the mainline ones, with the exception of, was it 3, are all... Well,
didn't Nocturne, that remake came out on multiple platforms.
The remake did, but like the original one was just PS2, right?
Yeah.
And all the other Shin Megami Tensei games are Nintendo exclusives, right? Yeah. At least the mainline ones. So it wouldn't be that weird if it stayed on Switch.
Yeah, no, that's true. But I also think it's pretty likely that the Persona games are coming to PC. So
yeah, no, it totally could. I don't think it's like a given or anything.
How wild would it be if it like a year goes down and Atlas teases a new announcement in the Megaten series and people are like, it's finally coming. Persona's coming to Switch, and it's just like, actually no, Nintendo's losing things. Megaten's coming to every, and it's going to be a better version that you'll never get on Switch.
Oh yeah, I mean it was definitely a, like, from what I remember, it wasn't a game that ran all that well on Switch.
It was impressive enough, but yeah, no, definitely the kind of thing that like if I played that on the Series X it would sing, as opposed to, you know, maybe tripping and falling a few times when I played it on Switch.
Matt and I were actually talking about that earlier today as we were sharing in some waking dreams of some other Switch games running in a format where they ran better. And it really, there are certain developers on Switch that are making like Switch exclusives that I don't think ever got told that the Switch Pro didn't come out. Like it's like Shin Megami Tensei,
it's going to be bad.
Warriors. The Xenoblade, yeah, the new Fire Emblem Warriors, like, because we haven't, I don't know if we're going to get around at doing anything with it, but we did run the Fire Emblem Warriors demo through frame counters, and what a beautiful landscape that frame graph paints. It's all over the place.
Koei Tecmo is going to pull their head up from making every Nintendo game and just be like, yo, wait, this is what we were developing for the whole time? Why did you never tell us?
Their dev kits are Switch Pro dev kits.
Yeah, their dev kits are just like Xboxes.
Yeah. What are you guys running this on?
Yeah, like, why didn't you tell me this in QA? Like,
Yeah, somebody tell them that it's okay to cap the frame rate at 30. It's probably preferable.
That's the other thing with the Fire Emblem one, is it runs a lot of the time, it bounces between 30 and 40, which is... Like, running a game at 40 frames per second is worse than running a game at 30 frames per second, because 40 is not divisible by 3, which if you have, like, a 60 hertz or a 120 hertz TV, sure would be nice if it could divide equally into your refresh rate. So 40 frames per second looks worse than 30 frames per second. So, yeah, cap your game, for crying out loud. If you're not going to hit 60, just cut it off at 30.
So, anyway, Sonic Frontiers is going to run perfectly on Switch. Very excited. I did notice through like pictures that I saw from the Summer Games Fest Play Days, their in-person event, I believe Sonic Frontiers was running on PCs at that event.
Okay. Oh, the only I only saw one picture, and they were using a PS4 controller, but I didn't see like a platform. But
it might have been hooked, like, because I happened to like, it was just somebody like took a picture. It might have been Kit and Krista that did it. But you could tell, like, I know I just saw something in the background where they had the demo, and you could see like the Windows taskbar at the bottom, and it was like the Sonic Frontiers like demo screen.
I mean,
so what are the specs on that PC? I want to know.
Well, and yeah, I assume that's the version IGN is showing, because that
poppin' is ridiculous.
That poppin' is exciting, and like,
as
I'm
a
just
fan
looking
of Pokemon
at that
games, it looks great. I don't know what you guys
are talking about. Kidding. It probably does have anti-aliasing, but I'm just imagining that on Switch. Like, if that's the best case scenario, and granted, it's not done yet. But like, if that's the best case scenario right now, then like, I'm terrified of what this game looks like on Switch. Because honestly, like the Sonic, like we mentioned Sonic Forces earlier, as far as like a Switch port went, like it was pretty okay. This I don't feel optimistic about, which maybe makes it better. Like, I kind of feel like I want to play the worst version of every Sonic game. I did appreciate the director or whoever kind of like, when they were asked about open world, and he kind of tries to do the Zelda thing of like, oh, it's not open world, it's open air. Zone. But he's like, yeah, it's open zone. It's like, that doesn't mean anything. But anyway, should we move on to some listener mail?
Sure. Well, are we going to talk about the rest of Summer Games Fest first?
Oh, I forgot that was in this segment and not the next one. Well, yeah, let's talk about Jeff Keighley just ramming his dick into our eye sockets. Yeah, it was terrible.
I do think like Summer Games Fest in itself, there were a couple of cool things with that, but there were very few announcements that I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I'm so surprised and shocked that this is amazing. My eyeballs are melting. It was very nice to see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge, and Neon White get release dates, even if some of those were kind of known beforehand.
Yes,
and even like Marvel's Midnight Suns is a game that I'm excited for, but
yeah,
knew that game was coming out,
right?
And like the October, I think like the October window was pretty much confirmed before it got announced. It's not like there weren't things throughout the weekend and in that Summer Games Fest thing that I was like, oh, that's neat, but it went on for 2+ hours.
Yep, which is, I mean, that is like Jeff Keighley's signature move.
Yeah. Go so long that maybe we'll get something you'll be hype about.
Yeah.
Don't forget the awards show, which is like 3.5 hours, maybe.
Yeah, it was like 20 minutes long. For awards.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, 20 minutes of this were Dwayne The Rock Johnson without a shirt on, just like talking into his cell phone.
It was for so long.
I think there was a point where there was more Black Adam advertising than there were Switch games.
Oh. Yeah.
Probably.
Well, that was, I mean, wasn't that, did they go straight from The Rock into Black Adam?
Yes, they did.
Like, because that went on for a really long time.
I think The Rock, like, mentioned, like, 7 different things that he was trying to promote, but it was, like, it was supposed to be for Black Adam. Like, he was trying to lead into that.
But it seemed very unscripted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was just on his phone.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Like, dude, you needed to film this thing a week ago, and he's like, oh, shit.
I got it.
Big drink energy.
Dwayne, could you put a shirt on? No, I'm good.
Yeah, no, nah, I just had my morning workout.
Yeah.
It's like really the content of it is like the kind of thing that you would expect in, you know, a slick promotional material, but it's done in a way as like a half-assed favor to somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I'll show up at your show, but, like I'm not going to put effort into it.
Like, I have a mutual friend who's just like, yo, Dwayne, can you do my buddy a solid?
Yeah, there was no, like, real tie-in. It was just, here's Dwayne The Rock Johnson to promote a movie that he's in that has no video game or anything. I guess he's in Fortnite or something. Somehow, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is in Fortnite.
I did like when Nintendo showed up with, like, random, like, we have some games coming out. Here's 15 seconds.
It was just like one of the generic YouTube ads. Like, it wasn't even like a special.
Was
it was just
an ad that I had seen recently that I was like, oh, okay, I know what this is.
Yeah.
Oh, and here's the better part about Marvel's Midnight Suns as well is it is not coming to Switch in October.
No. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess they did come back around and confirm that, like, it is still coming to Switch.
Yeah, I think it's just later.
Yeah.
Hopefully it runs better than XCOM 2.
But I will say, some of the shadow drops that did happen, well, I guess the shadow drops and, like, the recent release date things, by the time you hear this, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge will be out. That game is incredible. Holy shit.
I'm excited to play that.
It is, if you remember, like, the old arcade Turtles games, it's like that, but modern. The characters all feel a little bit different. There's, like, a dodge that is very helpful. It feels realistic that you can avoid getting hit, which is something that did not seem humanly possible when playing Turtles in Time in the arcade.
That's a problem for a lot of those beat-em-ups in general.
They're designed for arcades because they don't want you to survive. So
they want to steal your quarters.
Everything. Like, quarter munchers. There are challenges in Shredder's Revenge that are, beat this level without getting harmed. I've not done one of them, but I definitely could see how it would be possible. And the online, which I have played up to 3-player locally, which is like a little bit of frame rate issues, but nothing. It was more like when things got really, really hectic, which I honestly was like, oh, kind of like, oh, that makes sense. But it's seamless, and how you can drop in, drop out with people, and going all the way up to 6 players is so cool. Jordan did try it with 6 players locally, and he said that, like, it ran fine. So I wouldn't be surprised. I would assume it probably still had some frame rate things when it got super chaotic, but the fact that it wasn't noticeably bad is very encouraging. And the online, with how seamless and, like, well that ran, I was extremely happy when Jordan and I played a couple stages the other night. Like, I can't wait to play the crap out of this game. I've already replayed a lot of levels. And, like, there's 2 hours of content in there, really. I think there's, like, 16 stages. But it's just really fun to play. Like, and if you play it with friends, if you play it with people online, it's going to be a good time. The other, a legit shadow drop on Netflix Games during Netflix Geeked, or whatever it was Point B.
I forgot that was part of this.
Point B, which is a Devolver Digital published game made by the guy who did Downwell. And it's Downwell is kind of like grungy. This is like a very cartoony, colorful game. Like, reminds me of a DSiWare game, which is probably why I like it so much. And all it is, it's like a perfect mobile game. And the fact that, like, you're scrolling vertically upwards, and you basically like flick to get this, like, the Point B, I think that might be the character's name, get it to jump in the air, and you can bounce off the wall, and your goal is to collect fruit that matches, like, the order on screen for the beast at the bottom of the well that is waiting for his juice order, or he will burninate you. And it gets... It, like, there's different levels and different contraptions and ways that you can, like, kind of, you know, extend your jump or bounce off of enemies. And then, like, all these kind of upgrades and, like, different, like, you know, buffs you can get to make it so, like, oh, you bounce higher, you get an extra jump. Or, like, you know, there's more pots that you can jump on top of will spawn. It's incredibly fun. I hope it comes to Switch eventually. I think it probably will, because I was reminded of how Devolver had Exit the Gungeon as an Apple Arcade launch title, and that wound up coming to Switch like 6 months later. So I would not be shocked if Point B comes to Switch sometime within the next year.
Yeah, and Downwell's on Switch, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You could play that on Tate mode.
Yeah, no, yeah. Downwell's great. Point B's great. I like that developer. And in between those two games, he worked at Nintendo for a hot minute.
Oh,
no.
Interesting. So,
but apparently he was, like, stifled there. I don't know. I think he made some comment when he left that he was like, it wasn't for me.
Mm. Yeah. Was he a contractor?
Who knows?
It didn't go down well for him.
I will say that I think pound for pound, the best show of the entire week was Devolver, which I did not see their insanity. I was going to a concert that night, but I did follow up on their announcements, and I mean, I'll give Devolver the credit for Point B, even if it wasn't at their specific show, but the Plucky Squire and Skate Story are two of the games that I might be most excited for coming out of this. Skate Story is a game that is not announced for Switch, but I hope comes to it eventually.
Yeah.
It is Skate meets Journey. Can't wait. And the Plucky Squire is from Jonathan Biddle, who worked on the Fluidity games on WiiWare and 3DS, and also made Stealth Inc. 1 and 2 and the Swords of Ditto, which I think all of those are on Switch.
I know Stealth Inc. I reviewed Stealth Inc. on Wii U back before I was on NWR.
I don't know if the first Stealth Inc. is on Switch. I think the second one and Swords. I know Swords of Ditto is on Switch because I reviewed it on Switch. But I mean, Biddle is a great director, great game maker. But he's also joined by James Turner, who left Game Freak sometime recently. He was the first Western Pokemon designer. I think Pokemon Sword and Shield might have been I think he designed a lot of those character or the creatures. But he was at Game Freak for a while. He worked on, I think, Tembo the Badass Elephant. I want to say Harmonite did some of their non-Pokemon works. But I also, reading between...
Pocket Jockey.
I don't know. No, he wasn't. There's a different guy at Game Freak that I think loves me. because I love Pocket Card Jockey. And then he made Little Town Hero. And I think I'm one of the five humans on the planet that loves Little Town Hero.
I completely forgot about Little Town Hero. I'm going to be honest.
A lot of people did. And it's probably for the best. Because, oh my God, there was such anger when that game came out. but I did get an email from Game Freak after I reviewed it. They were like, thank you. You understood it. And that was what we're like. I wasn't that shocked that people didn't like it. Because it was very much like a game for me. But I did not expect people to hate it as much as they did. Because that game's really cool.
I do also think Cult of the Lamb looks potentially neat and weird.
Yeah, and that's coming out August 11th on Switch.
Yeah.
The developer of that did a game in the complete opposite direction called The Adventure Pals that came out on Switch. I reviewed that one back 2018 or whatever, which is it's basically an Adventure Time cutesy kids platformer. Really fun. But they were teasing making a new game. I'm like, oh, cool. The Adventure Pals is really neat. And it's Cult of the Lamb. I'm like, oh, they got tired of doing cutesy shit. They want to burn things.
It is still cute.
Yeah.
Just, in a scary, murderous way. Yep, yep. Let's see. What shows have we not... Are there shows we haven't talked about yet?
Xbox?
Yeah, I mean, Xbox had Silksong. Which is delightful.
Which is, it really goes in line with my expectations that someone else was going to money hat Silksong and not Nintendo.
Yeah. Which, I mean, good for Xbox.
I love the confusion between not having a release date versus Microsoft saying that everything that they announced was going to come out within 12 months. And then Team Cherry's just hasn't said anything.
Well, also, didn't they have didn't Microsoft have something at the end of the show? Was everything on the screen will come out in the next 12 months and Silksong was not on that list?
Oh, I thought Silksong was on that.
I don't think it was.
Their entire pitch, I didn't notice that, but I do know at the beginning of their show, they were everything we are showing will be out in the next 12 months.
Was it everything we were showing past this point? And was that... did they say that after Silksong was announced?
No, it was after. What did they open with? They opened with Redfall.
Yeah. And I think it was Silksong after that.
It was after Redfall that they said that.
No, but Silksong was right after Redfall.
I'm pretty sure it was before Silksong.
Regardless of whatever was said, if you think that Silksong is guaranteed to come out in the next 12 months, I have a prince in Nigeria that I can refer you to.
Well, and that's, honestly, Microsoft, I think to their credit, are perfectly happy to delay games. We have seen them consistently delay their system sellers by years. So, nothing at the Microsoft show is guaranteed for that time. But it seems like that is the intended time. And I don't think that's outrageous for Silksong to be out in the next 12 months.
We have been at the point for a while where, Team Cherry could pop up any day and be like, it's ready.
Right, it could shadow drop. It's probably at the Nintendo Direct, which should be starting here in about half an hour.
I did Day of the Devs. My favorite thing from that was Desta, The Memories Between. which is from Us Two Games, who they did Alba, A Wildlife Adventure, which is like one of the like neater, cuter open world games that I think I've ever played. Because it's more like you're a kid playing at like a vacation island, and it's about like saving the environment and stuff. Like, but it's like it feels like Breath of the Wild, but your interactions are not stab. It is like go around, take pictures of birds and stuff, and like pick up like soda cans.
I never got that. Was one that I intended to play and never actually got around to playing it. I kind of forgot it existed.
I highly recommend it. It's also Us Two Games did Monument Valley, which is probably the game that everybody would know them from. But they announced, Dust of the Memories Between, which is inspired by roguelikes and sports games.
obviously.
But I mean, it's one of those things where aren't there two Monument Valleys? I played the first one at some point, like years after it came out. It was like, that's cool.
I think the second one's like an Apple Arcade deal.
Okay. But Alba, like, I think Alba's incredible. And they have another Apple Arcade game, Parts Not Included, that was really good as well. I think they're a really smart and talented development studio. And it, like, I mean, like, it's also, I think Dust of the Memories Between is also, like, inspired by Into the Breach. So it's like a strategy game, but it's about, like, your character, Desta, is like having dreams about relationships with people that she has in the real world, and like it just seems like a like typical for them, familiar game mechanics with like a really neat narrative hook that makes it feel different and unique. And Time Flies seemed very cute, which is, it looks like Goose Game but you're a fly.
I look forward to Goose Game but you're a blank being a genre. I mean, that Goose we get game, to sit but through you're a
cat is coming out on PlayStation in August, so
that's true. That I have got somebody at work who has agreed to play through that game when it comes out and let me know if anything happens to the cat at the end before I play it. Because I can't tell from the trailers if that's like a, is this going to be like a heavy game or is it going to be a goofy, silly, fun game? And I'm not sure, and I'm not committing until you tell me whether or not something happens to the kitty. Yeah, I think that's all of the shows. There's so many.
I know there's too many.
Well, there's also like what the Wholesome Games, and then was there Freedom Games as
did
well?
Did we not even do Wholesome Games? There's like 20 million things at Wholesome Games. So
there's like 100 things that I think in total at the Wholesome Direct there was like 95 games shown.
That's too many.
It's the kind of thing where it's my overarching thing with. Summer Games Fest as a concept, which is that there's like too much diaspora, like it's too spread out.
Yeah, the only company that I feel like kind of could get away with it was Xbox, because it felt very like Xbox is in direct competition with PlayStation State of Play presentations. Yeah. And so Xbox coming out and go, here's all this stuff, 80% of it is exclusive, 80% of it is on Game Pass. And we have 90 minutes of just nonstop stuff where PlayStation had 20 minutes and five games, some of which weren't exclusive. So like, I get it when Microsoft does it, but Wholesome, like if you list that many indie games, it's what comes out is just that I don't know anything that came out of it.
Well, it's not like Wholesome to turn an indie game down.
I suppose maybe you just need to have more Wholesome directs. Maybe you just need to have like the Wholesome weekend stream. Where you tell me about five games and then you save the rest.
Do it Nintendo style where you put out something like once every quarter.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause this is just with this, like nothing sinks in.
I will say like the Wholesome Direct, I think is multiple times a year now.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I mean, maybe like twice. It's not often. Like it feels
it might be three times now.
It feels roughly as often as like the Nintendo indie showcase thingy.
Yeah, which is thrice annually.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. If you have more than like 40 games, then maybe you should split it up.
It's too many.
Yeah. Do it monthly.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it is the kind of thing where I do think there's a value for this, but it's also, I don't know, like hyper-focused to your audience. But at the same time, if you're not expanding the audience, what are we doing here, fellas?
Yeah.
But there's cool games there. There's nothing like outside of the stuff that I talked about, which was, I mean, there was more that I was stoked about than I kind of expected going into talking about this. Really, like, man, Desta, give me those Us 2 games. but it's just like it was a lot of like, here is a game that you have heard about or was previously announced. Is there really anything new about this game? No. Here's just another trailer telling you about this game again.
I don't know. I think Summer Games Fest could have used some wholesome games. There was a lot of violence.
Yeah.
There was a lot of horror.
The wild thing is like the first half an hour of like the flagship Summer Game Fest thing was like super like, oh, here's all these, like, here's Callisto Protocol, here's an alien game, here's Call of Duty for 15 minutes. And then like the back hour plus had decent variety.
Right. They should in the first chunk of it, there were four games. And like I was on Slack, we were all laughing about this. Like, there were four games that were space horror games where you're on a space station being pursued by some sort of monster. Like,
yeah,
in four games in a row within the first 45 minutes of that show.
Yeah.
And like Twitter noticed, like it was ridiculous.
And overall, like, I think there was a little bit more variety throughout that presentation. But like, man, like just space it around a little bit, or maybe don't have your presentation be 2 hours long.
Yeah.
And feature like 15 minutes talking about a Last of Us remake.
Yeah. A Last of Us remake that had already leaked that morning. Yeah.
Yeah. All I'm really realizing is that Nintendo really has this down to a science. Like, even their, I guess, poorly received directs tend to have at least better pacing and kind of let the announcements breathe in a way that makes sense, that helps you kind of like, it sticks to your mind a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, especially, you can definitely look back to older directs, and I think this is where Nintendo weirdly was ahead of their time. Mm-hmm. We always make fun of Nintendo either being like, we're doing downloadable games in 1995, or they're like, we learned what the internet was in 2020. Like right. It feels like that's usually the range, but
and
legitimately,
they do manage to occupy both of those things simultaneously, yes, with incredible aptitude. Yeah.
But like, really, I mean, what, the first Nintendo Direct was 2012.
Somewhere in there.
And then they started doing 2013 was the first like digital E3 thing that they did. But really, they were ahead of the curve with all of that. And if you look at some of those older ones, like, oh, it's rough. Like they did not really learn how to effectively do that format for a while.
Yeah.
And it was, I think, the beginning of the Switch era when, I mean, I think they did a very good job marketing the Switch in 2017. That's a good reason why we are where we are. But like their format that they do, that like Sony just straight up copied with State of Play, where they do like those headlines, and then it's kind of like they'll always have, it's like the structure of the impactful opener, then like five headlines, then like maybe like it'll be like, oh, here's Salmon Run and Splatoon in the middle of it, where they have like, you know, a little bit of an added focus, and then another like five headlines, and then a closer or something like that. Like, it's always it's very,
in a montage.
Well-paced. Yeah. Yeah, I guess they do the montage in regular directs. I know with Indie Worlds, pro tip to any indie developers listening, if they're like, we're gonna put you in the montage, like, fight to get out of there.
Yeah.
Like, that is the black hole. Especially if you're giving them a shadow drop, man, fight to get out of the montage.
Yeah, no, I mean, PlayStation and Xbox are kind of just now getting, and Xbox is really still up in the air. PlayStation feels like they're starting to get it. Xbox is border. When Xbox is doing their Xbox has no idea how to do their indie stuff.
No.
And it's infuriating to watch. Not much. It's still like 5 hours long. It has commercial breaks. For some reason, it has hosts that just like talk off script for like 10 minutes between every game. It's it's bizarre and horrible.
Yeah.
And like the least watchable thing I've ever seen.
And it is like, the most recent State of Play, I always watch the State of Plays as being like, all right, Sony, sell me on your console that I don't own and don't really have that much of an attention to, but like, there's some things I'd play on it, but like nothing that I'm like, need to get one the next time I can find one.
There isn't a system seller for you yet.
And I will give their most recent State of Play credit in that, like, it actually was like paced well, had, you know, some impactful reveals, even if like most of it was Capcom. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Capcom and Square Enix money for Sony.
There was like no first party outside of Horizon VR.
Yeah.
There was no first party stuff there.
But like it was a good well-paced thing where like there were a mix of indies and, you know, big publishers, like ending on Final Fantasy 16, where I could definitely hear the arguments for the Final Fantasy 16 trailer being like kind of nonsense, but I'm excited for the concept of that game.
Yeah, I'm interested in the I don't know what the concept of that game is yet. It's clearly not anything that I thought it was going to be. So
it doesn't look like Final Fantasy 7 remake gameplay, so I'm out.
Weirdly, it looks like a Devil May Cry game.
Yeah, it does.
But that doesn't totally, like, I need to see more.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we'll find out. By the time this is out, we'll know that Final Fantasy VII Remake Electric Boogaloo is coming soon.
Yay. Coming to Switch via the cloud.
Oh, my God. I would review that. Why not?
They better call it Cloud Strife Edition.
You will hear this now. If Final Fantasy VII Remake comes to Switch via the cloud, I am pledging to review it.
We should probably take a moral stand and just stop covering cloud releases.
I like much like we made Joe do a half an hour video on Kingdom Hearts cloud.
We didn't make Joe do anything. We said, hey, Joe, here's the code for those Kingdom Hearts games. And he was like, see you in a bit. And came back with a half hour dissertation.
I did not expect the half hour dissertation to happen, but I did purposefully go out of my way to like pester Jordan to be like, yeah, you should follow up about the Kingdom Hearts codes. We need to send it to Joe.
Yeah.
So there was a little bit of that was deliberate.
Ugh, I'm amazed that like part of the deal for Sora in Smash, like, because surely that all happened at the same time. And I'm amazed that it wasn't like, okay, but they have to be actual. They can't be cloud ports.
You have to think they tried and they were like, this is too much work.
I don't believe that they did. Because they ported those games to a generic engine to run on everything. Because they've re-released them multiple times. And you don't make brand new native ports every time. You put them in a shell. And that shell has to run on something as powerful as a Switch.
So here's a thing. It actually has come up like in a shocking amount. Like most specifically, like the thing that I will cite as my out in nothing like behind nothing that I shouldn't say out loud because it was in a press event is talking to the one programmer at Young Horses, the Bugsnax developer, because I asked when we had they had, like a preview for the Bugsnax DLC and the Switch release, and I asked like, oh, like how was the process of porting it to Switch? And he was like shockingly open about it, and it kind of echoed a lot of what I've heard over the years, is that the big difference with Switch compared to Xbox, PC, and PS5, or even Xbox, PS4, PS5, and whatever,
mm-hmm.
is like PS4, PS5, Xbox's PC, it's all kind of the same thing with like a few differences. Like it's all kind of dealing with the same
tech.
It's pretty like there are nuances to all the platforms, but like if you have a game that's coming to PlayStation, outside of the cost of like fine tuning it for Xbox, like it's not a huge lift. It's like, you know, it's not PS3 and Xbox 360 where the PS3 was arcane to develop for. The Switch is different architecture. Not even just beyond it being a technologically inferior platform, which it is. Like, I mean, for better mm-hmm. or worse, that's just the truth of the platform. It is also a different architecture. So not only are you like downporting a game to lesser architecture, it's also, you know, not the same as what you've been doing on PS4, PS5, the Xboxes, and PC.
Yeah, and that's all true. The totally unsupported thing that I would say about Kingdom Hearts, which once again, like I looked and we couldn't find confirmation of this one way or the other. I would bet that ever since those games hit PS3, that they have been in something equivalent to a Unity or an Unreal Engine or something some common framework shell that is already natively supported on Switch. Because that's what you would do if you're going to do remakes that then get ported across multiple platforms. You would put them in something that translates.
So I'm trying to look at this is that I would imagine, because I think the PS3 version of like HD 1.5 remix and HD 2.5 remix or whatever, which they both did come to PS3. Mm-hmm. I would imagine that those were probably made for PS3. And after that was the version that they made that was then more easily transferable across PC and 4 and 5 and Xbox. And I think from that, like going, you made the PS3 version. That was weird. Then you made it to that PS4, PC, Xbox version. I think taking that version and bringing it to Switch would be a much bigger lift than bringing that version to any of the other related platforms.
Not impossible,
just more costly.
We're butting up against the edge of either of our knowledge, but
this is very true. I mean, we've been butting up against the edge of my knowledge since we started talking about
this. once you make the hard part was getting it off of PS3 because PS3 is a disaster. But
just look at the PS Plus premium crap where it's like, look at this PS3 game that can't be emulated.
Yeah.
Or PS3 look at this is PS1 a game.
PS3 is a mistake.
Have you seen any of the clips of the PS1 games on PS5?
They're
fucking atrocious.
It's incredible.
They make me want to hug Nintendo Switch Online and be like, people were so mean to you.
It really is. Like, nobody looks at other places with the same critical eye that they look at Nintendo. But yeah,
I think some of it comes from the fact that, like, you know, like I'll stump for that Toy Story 2 game. It's pretty solid. But like, what game that came out on PS1 for PS5
right.
premium crap or whatever that like are people like, this is amazing, this is my childhood.
The like, licensed Toy Story 2 game is literally the best game on that lineup. And like, that's not, I mean, it is a good game, but like, this it should not game. Be the best game on that lineup. But yeah, anyway, once they got Kingdom Hearts to Xbox, PS4, like that generation, and PC and all that, that's in a generic shell. And it would not be a heavy enough shell that Switch wouldn't be able to run it, because it's probably like Unreal Engine 4, which or something equivalent.
I mean, we've seen Witcher 3 run on Switch. It is not impossible. I do think getting all those Kingdom Hearts games to work on Switch natively would be maybe a higher cost than might be worthwhile, which that is a bet that I personally, knowing the, I don't know, like Kingdom Hearts seems fucking perfect for Switch players. Mm-hmm. Maybe the rhythm game didn't sell well enough. I don't know.
Right. Well, and
but it's also
you wonder like how much did they sell of the cloud version?
Probably enough to break even at a minimum.
Because they sold it for like $1 million. It was expensive. Like what did. How much was it? Because was it more than 60? Like it
was. I think to get the collection that had all three games, because 3 was there as well. I think it was 90.
Yeah, I think 90 is the number.
Kingdom Hearts Integrum Masterpiece for Cloud was $72 at launch because it was on a 20% discount, but it is $89.99 typically.
Jesus. Yeah, that's. I mean, now granted, that means they didn't have to sell many to break even.
And oh my God. If you bought the three games separately, it would have been $140 because it's 1.5 2.5 remix cloud version was $40. Kingdom Hearts HD 2.8 Final Chapter Prologue was $50. And then Kingdom Hearts 3 plus Remind DLC was $50.
And that's Kingdom Hearts 3 being cloud, fine, fair enough. That would require actual effort to port. But the cloud is not a viable way to port anything to Switch, because the entire point of the Switch is that you can take it with you, which makes all of your cloud games worthless. Like,
oh, you have a hotspot on your phone. You know,
have you ever tried to play a cloud game over a hotspot on your phone?
Have you ever tried to play a cloud game, period?
Xbox Cloud is one of the better cloud services. And even playing over a very fast internet connection, there is noticeable input latency. Playing it over a hotspot or a cellular, like just like out and about cell phone connection, not ideal. not a way that I would ever play a game intentionally. Yeah, this just isn't, this shouldn't be an option for Switch. And I, one day I hope we get sales data for any of these cloud games, because I just can't imagine that it still works. I get it for like the first couple where people think it's novel. But after that, like I just can't imagine that people actually bought Kingdom Hearts. And if you did, like, shame on you, you're part of the problem. Stop doing that. Anyway, listener mail?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can do that.
Okay. This is from Vincent, who says, howdy, 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 connectivity crew. I've been replaying Super Mario RPG, and every time something silly comes up, my finger moves to press the screen capture button. There's a purple dinosaur with a top hat. I gotta share that. But my Super Nintendo...
Yo, I love Krakow.
But my Super Nintendo doesn't have such a button. Aside from sleep mode, the screen capture button may be my favorite minor video game feature. I like the Xbox controller more because it sends the pictures to my phone, but I digress. What's your favorite minor feature of modern systems? Not anything big like online or achievements, but little things where you're retro gaming and you're like, ah, dang, I wish I had this. Thanks, y'all. Keep up the good work.
Rewind.
Ooh, that's
auto
a good
saves.
One.
I mean, is there any other answer other than auto saves?
Well, yeah, and like save states.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, save states and rewind. I mean, it's something that also the big way to solve there's a purple dinosaur with the top hat. I got to share that is Nintendo. You brought the Deviants Earthbound. Now give me Super Mario RPG on Nintendo Switch Online.
This is not a like generic modern feature, but it was on one system, and it's a TV remote being part of my controller. That was a stroke of genius. And why doesn't every controller do that? Like, I should be able to hit a button and just have my controller control a TV. It was awesome. What's keeping us from continuing to do that?
Well, we need a dual screen.
You don't, though. I could just let me make like up and down on the D-pad while I'm holding down the TV button be my volume. Like,
I do need to upgrade or hook up my Wii U to my TV in my office, because during my house stuff, I don't know where the remote is. So then I can use that as a remote.
That's my basement TV is like that. More so that the remote died and my Wii U gamepad stays plugged in. So. It's just always ready to go.
Yeah, now I need to, now that I have my office has more space in it again, need to hook up that Wii U, get that gamepad TV remote going on. Street Pass, I feel like, might betray the spirit of the question of like something that's not like online or achievements, because I think Street Pass is a much bigger deal than like can function as a TV remote.
I would say achievements aren't a big thing, so I would throw achievements back into the category, but.
But I think Street Pass, like, I just missed that. But also, in this world, how often would I have passed someone holding my Switch?
Right. Yeah.
Imagine if Nintendo launched the 3DS during a pandemic.
I mean, I think it would have done well, but I don't think Street Pass would have been a big deal.
No, it would have just been like, just cut it out. We'll have a 3DS Lite that will not have Street Pass in it.
The touchscreen is actually pretty nice on Switch when you need it, if you're playing in portable mode.
I don't know if either of you guys do this, but whenever I'm reviewing a game, the first time I play it portably, I check to see if the menus work with the touchscreen.
Then
get irrationally angry when they don't. which like shouldn't be something I expect, but like it's right there and I just want to poke things. Why won't you let me poke things?
I don't get mad about it, but I definitely do. If I'm playing portably, I'll be like, does it? Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be implemented more often. There are definitely games where it would absolutely work just fine.
Yeah. Yeah, there are games where you expect it to be there and then you try it and it's not. And it's strange. I will echo the share button on the Xbox is hilariously
really
better than the share button on the Switch.
Yeah.
Because I hit that.
Not bad.
It's fine. That if you're posting to Twitter right away, then it's fine. It's just nice when I'm playing Xbox and I can hit the button, and then like later I can just open up the Xbox app on my phone, and there's all of the things that I grabbed.
Yep. Yeah, the Xbox app, like the mobile app, is really good.
What's dumb is, like, I feel like Nintendo's app, like, should be able to do that, but it doesn't without an extra step that sometimes doesn't work and is so bad that I wind up using a third-party app that works better than Nintendo's app to transfer my...
Finally, and it's way better.
It's called Switch Buddy, if you like to move your Switch screenshots. And yeah, Switch Buddy is way better than anything that Nintendo has set up natively.
It's good, but it still requires like a couple steps. It's
not... you still have to like do like scan a QR code off of your TV.
Yeah.
But when you scan that QR code, it then works, which I cannot say for Nintendo's implementation.
Disconnecting from data and then...
Yeah, you don't have to like change Wi-Fi networks and do all kinds of weird stuff.
Oh, yeah. You just
scan the QR code. It goes, cool, I'm on your Switch. Are these the pictures you want? Nice. And then it grabs them. There have been points in my life where it was more convenient to just remove the micro SD card from my Switch, put it into a converter, plug that into my CD or my PC, and copy the pictures over than it was to use the app, which just goes to show how inconvenient the app is. All right. Speaking of Switch games that you could capture, we've all been playing Mario Strikers.
I have.
We sure have.
Some Mario Strikers.
We're all part of the same club.
Yeah,
we are part of the same club.
Start, guys. Is that this weekend? Let's get ready. I think it's
like 6 days or something.
It was nine. It was like 10 days from when the 9 or 10 days from when the game came out, which I thought was weird that there wasn't anything sooner.
Because the online is kind of like there's no rankings or anything unless you were in a season.
Yeah, we can. Right. I mean, we are earning money to customize our stadium. If you guys wanted to vote on any of like the greenery around the outside, then I can like. It tells me what you voted for, and then I can buy that using the money that we've earned from playing games.
But I can't like vote to customize your Rosalina to make her make sense for my playstyle.
What's wrong with my Rosalina? She's all technique.
I realize if we're trying to get other players, my oldest has been playing Strikers, so I should just be like, yo man, make another Rosalina.
Who does he main? Because the best thing about Mario Strikers on
Mario is definitely his main.
Well, we don't have a Mario yet, so that's something.
Mario's good. Mario's fine.
What's your quartet? Your go-to quartet?
My quartet.
Toad, Rosalina, Waluigi, and Yoshi. And Toad is Tank Toad. Rosalina and Yoshi both shoot very hard, and my Waluigi is fast as the Dickens.
Is that your single player quartet or your online quartet?
That is my single. Okay. I've only played like a match online at this point.
Because my single player is Rosalina, Donkey Kong, Toad, and then Mario is my filler that I've kind of customized to be like straight down the middle. He's just my extra guy. And then Toad is fast, Donkey Kong strong, and Rosalina makes all her shots.
Yeah, Rosalina is undisputed champ in my eyes in this game so far.
Yeah, so my quartet is Wario is the captain, and Donkey Kong is defending, and he's got a lot of strength and passing and a little bit of speed and not much else. My third spot is it's kind of like a flex right now. I think I'm using Waluigi as an added defender, but really like the crux of my team is Rosalina with like a ton of technique and shooting. Mm-hmm. And basically the point of the game is just to create space and to pass to Rosalina for her to just like tap A and kick it in.
Yeah. That's what I really like about how you can customize the gear is that it's almost like you're designing it around plays of how to run your team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where like it is like, okay, when I'm on defense, I'm gonna be Tank Toad because he's got some wheels and he can hit like a truck. When I'm on offense, it's gonna be like, okay, I'm looking for Yoshi or Rosalina to pass them the ball and then get a shot lined up.
Yeah, you can really customize the characters around your very specific playstyle. And the game is balanced enough to where like there's a lot of viable playstyles. I've seen a lot of speed builds and strength builds and also some passing builds, though I think passing might be the least favorable stat.
I mean, I think the thing with passing is it's slow to develop because I think you can I haven't berubied this game yet as far as like min-maxing it totally, but it seems like with passing you might be able to create advantageous situations by like just passing between your team members on the enemy's side of the pitch. Mm-hmm. But that takes a lot of time as opposed to like, oh, I just hit the shit out of them.
Yeah.
And passed it to my shooter who took a shot on goal and it went in.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. The best use I've seen of passing, honestly, has been playing online against people who will do that. If you pick up whatever the smash ball is,
yeah,
then they'll get the ball and just keep it airborne passing for the entire time that you have the smash ball, just to keep it away from you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's basically like you're on the penalty kill. Like that's really what it is,
and it works, and it's very frustrating. I do like that. So when you're playing in club mode, once you join a club, when you go to start a game, you have access to all of your club's mains, like all of the characters that each club member has chosen as their main. And when that happens, you can select multiple of the same player if you have multiple of that character in your club.
Yeah, so multiple Rosalinas is possible.
And required. I was saying earlier today that I've debated right now, the NWR club is just exclusively staff until I'm sure that everybody who wants in got in. And then I'll probably open it up to fill out the rest of the slots. But I've debated accepting a couple randos that I saw sent requests purely because they had Rosalina as their main. And I was like, man, it'd be really nice to be able to field a team of entirely Rosalina
I'll check in with my kid and be like, you feeling Rosalina?
You need to be Rosalina.
We gotta do this for the team.
We will, of course, once the Daisy update comes out, we will ban anyone who uses Daisy rather than Rosalina, because we will not have any of that.
Matt will excitedly buy the game and then get kicked out from the NWR club.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry, your kind isn't welcome here. We have one best girl, and she's the one who's literally a god. Like, she never touches the ground. Everybody else just kicks the ball really hard. She slingshots it around the moon.
I don't think she even like kicks the ball. She just kind of like hovers with it, right?
She just wills the ball into the goal.
I do love Toad's power of friendship.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I will. So my online, my club team is my Rosalina, Joe's Rosalina, Justin's Waluigi, and your Toad.
Hell yeah.
Are my online team.
I'm kind of bummed out because I don't think you unlock any additional gear when you beat Galactic Mode.
That's very unfortunate.
Yeah, because I was like, oh man, I would like to like do more chaos, like extremes with character builds, but there is a limit to the wildness that you can do.
I will say, like, based on, and I don't know if this will apply to gear, but based on the customization options for the stadiums, I feel like there's going to be a lot more added. Because there are a lot of locked off slots on the stadiums, and I feel like that might also wind up applying to gear. Like, I think there's a lot of potential in this game for it to just have lots of just drip fed content.
There's definitely a couple of open spots on the gear menu where, like, I could see two different gear sets being applied if they wanted to. I would kill for a DLC roadmap.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we'll get that under the direct happening in 20 minutes.
Yeah,
right.
It keeps getting delayed. They keep pushing it back. It's weird, but you know, Nintendo.
They're working on Daisy still. They haven't fine tuned her, right?
I did see some mention that like the names of like, we don't know who the players are, but something like 10, there were 10 data mine slots for new characters, which,
oh sure,
yo, like if they double the roster size, like no notes, like that sounds great. Because that is, I mean, if we're talking about criticisms with this game, which I think as it is a fun game to play. I think the offline content leaves a little to be desired in the fact that you basically have you have 10 cups that really is equivalent to 5 cups on 2 difficulty modes. And they kind of just all feel exactly the same. And because there's only 10 characters, you just kind of see the same characters on your team and the opponent's team.
Well, and
constantly
you'll fight, like, within the same tournament, you'll fight multiple teams that have Luigi on it.
Yeah.
You know? So like, it doesn't even feel like, you know, because they took out, you know, the sidekicks of like the original Strikers, there's not that feeling of like, okay, I'm fighting the Bowser team.
Yeah. It's like Bowser and some dry boneses. Let's go.
Yeah. Whereas in this, it's not even like, oh, I'm fighting Bowser and Waluigi and Wario and is there another bad guy character?
Not really.
Donkey Kong?
I guess. Like, they're not even really themed around anything.
Well,
you don't have
enough players.
Right.
Because you can't. Most of them are themed around their stats rather than like their morality or whatever.
Yeah.
But like that, that's my complaint. And that complaint also goes into the fact that I think that I had a feeling when we saw 10 players and there are no sidekicks, that means, you know, you're picking four players aside. So that means every game will have 80% of the roster at a maximum.
Yeah. And in fairness, there is a decent amount of customization to those characters. Yeah, like they can play very differently, but as far as visually what you're seeing, it feels like you're playing the same match over and over again.
I mean, yeah, so they do, depending on the different cup, like, you know, the stats are kind of featured in different ways, but like you don't, at a certain point, they kind of just all feel the same. Mm-hmm. It would be, yeah, if they wind up through the post-launch free DLC, if there's, you know, maybe some other kind of mode or added thing to do offline, and if they do double the set of players to make it 20 total, like, not really many complaints with this game. And if the season, I mean, we'll find out. I'm curious to see how the club mode season goes. I'm looking forward to it because I think it'll be a really fun time, but there's a chance it could be like, oh, we did that once, I'm done.
I will say, and we were talking about this before we started recording earlier today, it's better than I thought it was going to be honest. Yeah. Like, I do think that, like, compared to the GameCube one, at least my memory of the GameCube one, this one single player feels comparable, and then the online I like. Apparently, it is not as deep as Charged, as you have reminded me by showing me a list of the modes that I did not remember.
Yeah, or at least the offline content. I mean, I think the online in charge was okay.
It was a Wii game.
It was a big selling point, actually, but it was like really one of the first Nintendo Wi-Fi games.
I mean, it was 2007. I guess the online with charge, like for the context of when it came out, it was totally fine. It's just that I think that charged could have benefited from patches being a thing.
Right.
Because while I do appreciate like how you could just play as Boo and use his like dodge to teleport into the goal, that's some bullshit.
Yeah, it sure was.
Toad's little hop, where if you timed it the right way, you just hop right into the goal. or spamming Hammer Brothers.
I definitely was the Hammer Bro spammer back in the day. I mean,
that was an effective strategy. Like,
sure was.
I remember at a PAX East, like, because they have like the free play things, we were playing some readers, and like it had been a while since I played Striker's Charge, but I was like, I was pretty good at this, and like just pro level Hammer Bros spammers, just barely even saw the ball, just got stomped. But yeah, I'm looking forward to playing this online with y'all. We need to, once club mode goes up, we should get on and only play 2v2 because you can't do 4v4.
Yeah,
I will point out,
there is a Turtles game coming out that has six players at once.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, am I disappointed that we can't have four people from our club playing at the same time? Yes. Do I want to know how it would run if Nintendo allowed me to have four people from my club playing at once? No. Because this is a Nintendo online game and they are not known for stability, and even just playing against like two other people online, I have had like latency and lag and slowdown. So
yeah, I mean, yes, but Splatoon is 4v4.
But so this is something that comes up. I think we even talked about this a little bit, although I think my point was more Mario Kart works totally fine because essentially Mario Kart, whether you're playing with 12 people or fucking 200. Mario Kart just needs to accurately show your racer and not even your full field of view, just enough of your field of view to be fine.
It also can guess.
Yeah, yeah, it can approximate, and it doesn't, it's not like if you're in fourth place in Mario Kart, it doesn't need to show the person in first place 100% accurately. It can have that a little jittery, maybe going on like a predetermined, like I once again, going up against my tech knowledge.
I think with Mario Kart, it pretty much, like, it knows, okay, last I checked on this person, they were going in this direction.
Yeah.
And then it keeps going until it checks on them again and goes, oh, they're not quite where I thought they were going to be, and it scoots them over.
And that's the same thing with Splatoon to an extent, where you have, you know, that only has 4-on-4 at the most, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
You do 4-on-4, but you only need to have what is in your field of view be incredibly accurate. And I think, I mean, it's also like, whereas with Strikers, you need to show that entire field and every player that's moving at the same time, or else it does not work.
Right. It's borderline a fighting game where the exact timing is extremely important. It's the Smash Bros. Problem, which we know Nintendo isn't great at solving. Though apparently they did a great job in Mario Party, so who knows?
Yeah, I'm not sure why Mario Party works so well, to be honest.
No one is. I think it was an accident. Nintendo's like, what did you do? I don't know. I fell asleep on a button.
It worked,
but like, don't touch it.
Yeah, Battle League has like a lot of these little like issues, whether it's the offline content or the online not being exactly what we wanted it to be, exactly what we imagined before release. But it's incredibly fun and very deep in terms of gameplay, and so I've been playing it for quite a while. Like, there's a Three Hopes demo installed on my Switch that I haven't even finished yet. And I love Fire Emblem, I love Three Houses, but I keep on playing Mario Strikers, and I wish I could recommend it. In fact, what I wish I could do is just like have everybody play the first Strike demo, because I was on the fence until that demo, but after playing it, I was sold, because that gameplay is super solid.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. I played the first Strike demo, and I was like, oh, it feels right. Okay, yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
I did not play that demo, and outside of you guys, I heard a lot more people being like, oh, this isn't what I want.
Right. Well, I think people wanted a party game like Charged, and yeah. I can understand the appeal, because I think Charged has a better soundtrack. It has a better roster. It has like more varied stadiums to play in.
Yeah.
But I think it's
single player mode.
Absolutely. But I think it's not fun to play after a while, because the strategy becomes the same. Just use whatever power shot your dude has.
Does seem that Battle League is better balanced.
And
that is something that's really exciting. And especially if they do add to this game, I could see, I mean, I did check it on Super Rush throughout each of the updates, because a lot of my issues with Super Rush were kind of fixed as the content rolled out.
Mm-hmm.
I think there were only what, 4 or 5 golf courses at launch. By the end of it, I think they had 8 to 10. And that was like, that felt like a full game.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I look, and it does. I understand when people are like, oh, this is crappy that this was like this at launch. And I think it's good that for Battle League, they did clarify like there's stuff coming afterwards.
It would be including cool to get characters.
A better, firmer roadmap, of course. But like for what it is, like, no, like, as if they deliver on their promise, I'm not going to be upset.
I think that's fine for multiplayer. I do think that single player needs to be there at launch in a more real way.
Yeah, agreed.
Because I think that, like, it's once again the whole thing of your system is a handheld that isn't necessarily going to be connected to the internet at all times.
Mm-hmm.
You need to create, your games need to be viable in that format. And this one's it's fine. Like, if you're just comparing it to the OG Strikers, then it's fine.
If you're comparing it to a late gen GameCube game from almost 20 years ago,
well, I mean, there's
totally
only
adequate.
As far as Mario Strikers goes, there's only 2 points of comparison, and
they're also 15 plus years ago. Looking at the game from 15 years ago, and there's a better single player mode there, then it kind of sucks.
Well, was the GameCube single player better?
No, I was talking
the Wii. Okay.
And also, Galactic Mode is really cheap. Like, I think the AIs reads your inputs, and it's not fun to play after a while.
I got to the second cup in Galactic Mode, and then that was when I saw Berube say that you did not get anything for beating Galactic Mode. I'm like, cool, I'm done.
A 1,000 coins per cup is great.
Yeah, that is. Like, I mean, I might whittle away with it, but It is a kind of, I wish there was like an intermediary difficulty, because the, like I was winning every match except for, I think there were two that were close in those first five cups, but everything was like 9-2. And most of the time I would give up two goals because I would just put the controller down with 30 seconds left.
The coins don't mean much when there's not enough, like by two tournaments in, you'll have enough coins to buy all the gear you could ever want.
Oh, I don't know. I'm dangerously low on coins.
Yeah, no, you can burn through it. If you're trying to get everybody's gear, you
need, I'm not. Points. I started at the beginning and was like, this is my strategy for characters. This is the gear that will make that work. I bought that gear and I have not bought any other gear.
Yeah, I've been basically every time that I go and play it, every time like I start a new session, I try and tweak my settings with the gear ever so slightly, and so it's burning through coins for sure.
Guys need to be more frugal.
I mean, I need to just play the game more. It got taken out of my my oldest wanted to play it, so the game card has been in his Switch for a couple days. I need to take it back. Siege the gate.
Can he pull off Hyper Strikes yet?
No, he's terrible at it.
Most and you time, want him he in just, our club? We're in it to win.
He just sets up a quick battle, and then it's like, "Daddy, you play," and I'm like, "Sure."
Well, with that, shall we call it an episode?
Yeah, probably. We could talk about Kingdom Hearts for another 20 minutes.
I was gonna say, like, if I knew that we were gonna talk about Sonic and Kingdom Hearts the entire episode, I would have like recommended Matt Zwodniak to show up instead.
Well, that's, listen, you'll notice that we only went for an hour and a half.
Yeah,
that's because Matt wasn't here. But yes, you can write into us to tell us if you think Sonic at Frontiers looks like a dumpster fire.
Yeah, recommend Sonic games for my child. He's 4 years old and he likes the movies.
Yes.
And the Julia White cartoon.
Tell us what your favorite part of having Jeff Keighley touch you inappropriately was. Tell us what your Strikers build is. And if you're planning on playing in the season, just tell us things. Write in. It'll be fun. Follow us on Twitter at ConnectivityNWR. And I think that's all the things. Thank you for listening.
Yep.
And we will see you next
later.
Time.
See you at the Nintendo Direct.
Bye.
Bye.
This was made possible by our generous supporters on Patreon. Check out patreon.com/NWR for all the details.